Early this morning, the Lord, and I've been thinking about this anyway, a message that I wanted to preach ever since Brother Jason and his family sang, "It Is Well With My Soul." And so this morning I was studying, and I came across this outline, and I said, you know what? I feel led of the Lord to preach the message, "It Is Well With My Soul." And then Marie got a phone call this morning about something very serious concerning Kyle and his wife and so forth. And I said, you know what? God impressed that on my heart. There wasn't any accident. God's not in accidents, is he? He's a sovereign God. He knows what we need when we need it. I had no idea what was going on. Now, we have a teacher in our school that teaches with my wife, and she's lost two or three children, and my wife has, and I'm sure that many of you have. It hasn't. Well, you don't talk about it, but when somebody goes through that, then you try to help them and console them. In 2 Kings chapter number 4, 2 Kings chapter number 4, you know the story well about the Shunammite woman and Elisha and the oil and her son dying, her husband dying, and all of that. And then we see in verse 26, it says in verse 25, "So she went and came unto the man of God." This is 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 25. "So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Behold, yonder is that Shunammite.'" Talking about Shunammite woman. Verse 26, it says, "Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say to her, unto her, 'Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?' And she answered, 'It is well.'" I don't know about you, but I got all kinds of problems. I mean, I got lots of problems. I remember a pastor's daughter, a pastor before me, his daughter said, "Man, I wish I could be like Brother Riddick. He don't have any problems. He just smiles all the time, has a good time." I've got more problems you won't know about. And you know what? When you tell people your problems, they can't wait till you stop so they can tell you their problems, right? Right? We all got them. Even Adam had problems, didn't he? Eve had problems. All throughout, from the very beginning of man, there's problems. But when somebody asks you, and sometimes, you know, people say, "Well, how you doing today?" We go, "Oh, okay, I'm doing okay, yeah. I'm doing fine." Well, that might not be the truth. But if we're saved, we're a child of God, we're in the center of God's will for our lives, we can say, "It's well with my soul." Now, outwardly in this world, I mean, to me, it's worse than it's ever been. I mean, sin is just like that heat out there. When you walk into that world out there, it's just like that sin just hits you right all over. And it disturbs you. And people might say, "Well, how's it going?" Well, things outwardly are not going so well. But it's well with my soul. The story is told, and most of you probably have heard the story of Horatio G. Spafford. There was a brief biography of a Christian lawyer, and that's who he was, and the history of the inspiring hymn that he wrote called "It Is Well With My Soul." This hymn becomes closest to heart for one undergoing grief. He was a Presbyterian lawyer from 1828 to 1888, and composed this music was by Philip Bliss. And it says, the scripture references Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And so what had happened, Spafford was a lawyer in North Troy, New York. Troy, that's a familiar name. And he was a successful lawyer who maintained a keen interest in Christian activities. And he was deeply spiritual, and he is devoted to the scriptures. But then there was a Chicago fire, and it destroyed a lot of things, and all of his investments just kind of went down the tubes, and his son died. And you think about those things happening to somebody, the investments he made, and he lost all of it in the Chicago fire, and his son died too. Then 2 years after that fire, Horatio Spafford planned a trip to Europe for him and his family to rest. And his wife and girls were on a ship to Great Britain. And he couldn't travel with them. He had a last-minute business deal. And on November the 22nd, it says, the ship was laden with his wife and daughters and was struck by the ship, the Lochearn, an English vessel, and sank in a few minutes. He got a telegram from his wife, and the telegram said this simply, "Saved alone." All of his daughters drought. And after all of this, when his wife had done, you know, sent him that wire, Spafford left by ship on his way to where his beloved four daughters had drowned, in pen in hand, and he wrote the most poignant text so significantly descriptive of his own personal grief when he said, "When sorrows like sea billows roll." And the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," we all know that, don't we? And we all sing that, and I love that song. But it says Horatio Spafford didn't dwell on the theme of life's sorrows and trials. Instead, he focused on the third stanza on the redemptive work of Christ, and in the fourth verse anticipates his glorious second coming. And I want you to think about that this morning. I'm going to read that right now, and then maybe if we have time, we'll read it to the end. On page 146, if you want to turn your hymnals, you can do that. We're not going to sing it, but just to read the words, when you know the story about the man, and then he wrote the song. And you know what? Many of the songs we sing have come as a result of a person's tragedy in their lives. And I love this song. When our choir sings it, when our church sings it, I mean, man, it just really does something for me. And Brother Jason, his wife, sang it the other night, and that was beautiful. It says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Verse 2 says, "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul." Now, I love verse 3. Listen to this. "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And Lord," fourth verse, "haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." And then the chorus says, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." So, I trust today that it's well with your soul. I can't speak for you, and I know people that are not saved by their own testimony, but I know people who have said they were saved and they really didn't know Christ as their Savior. I know people that have made professions and later they realized they were lost and they were saved at a later date. And sometimes people are embarrassed by that. And I've had people come in my office. I had a fellow that came in that had been a trustee in another Baptist church. His father-in-law was a pastor and a chancellor of a college. And he came to my office one day and he said, "Brother Riddick, I know I'm not saved." He said, "I've been on the church roll for years. I married into a Baptist preacher's family. I've been a trustee of the church." And he said, "I don't have peace. It's not well with my soul." And he said, I want to get that taken care of. He said, "You know, but I think about if I do that and how that'll look and how embarrassed that I will be and my family will be." And I looked at him sitting over there on the couch across my desk. And I said, "Bob, the people will rejoice that it's well with your soul when you're saved." And over the years, I've had other people come to me. I mean, they've said, look, I've been playing a game. I've been saying all the right words. I've been singing all the songs. I've been smiling. I've been tithing. I've been giving. I've been coming. And everybody thinks I'm saved, but I know I'm not saved. You know, it's like when Clarissa told us she didn't have what other people had. That floored me. I mean, from all indications, you know, you'd never know it. But she said, "I'm not saved." My wife was telling me about that account I told you about the other night. And my wife said when we read Romans 10, 9 and 10, that she put Clarissa's name in there. "For with Clarissa's heart, confession is made into salvation." You know, and so forth. And she saw it. That was her. That's a personal thing. So as we think about this now, when he asked the lady and all the problems that she had, we know that Elisha later raised her son from the dead. But she had all these things going on, and Elisha was taking care of her because she was taking care of the men of God. And when the Gehazi asked her, "Is it well with thee?" She said, "It is." He said, "Is it well with thy husband?" He said, "Is it well with thy child?" And she answered, "It is well." At the end of my dad's life, you could ask him if it was well with his soul. He said, "It's well with my soul." You know what? God gives us grace to live by, but he also gives us grace to die by. And when I leave this world, I want to leave like my dad did, with a little smile on my face, said, "Bye, y'all, for a little while. I'll see you soon." But as we think about that, it is well with my soul. Number one, it is well with my soul because salvation is by grace. Ephesians chapter 2, and I refer to that a lot, but it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We've read it many times, but it has to be personal to you when the Lord saves you and you see this thing. And I mean, the grace of God is just overwhelming as you think about it. Ephesians chapter number 2. And let's start reading with the first verse there. I like this whole chapter, of course, and I like all the Bible as far as that goes. But in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Everybody that's ever born comes into that situation. "But God," verse 4, "who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "For by grace," someone has said that's God's riches at Christ's expense, "are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I can say today, and I pray that you can say, it is well with my soul because salvation is by the grace of Almighty God. Grace. Grace. Think about that. It's God's grace. Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." God saves us by grace through faith. You're not saved any other way. I read after a man that if I called his name, you would all know him, but he said there was about seven different ways that you could be saved. He claims to be a Baptist. And he says there's different ages that you're saved in different ways, but I don't find that in the Bible. I find the Bible says, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And when I read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, I realize that it's by grace, through faith, that you're saved. It's not of us. It's not of our works. Why? Why? Because we'd boast about it, wouldn't we? "Well, look what I did to be saved. You didn't do half what I did to be saved. You didn't give half what I gave." No, no. It's a common denominator. Every lost person is saved by grace through faith. And then when you're saved, you can say, "It is well. It is well with my soul." Secondly, it is well with my soul because of the presence of God's Spirit within my heart. The Bible says, and let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. Here's what we find in the Scripture. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That's the term of affection. Verse 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." I want you to think about that. There's a different spirit with us in us. When we're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And you remember the fellow I told you about that had the spinal meningitis, a preacher, and he didn't know how to walk or talk or eat or anything, didn't know he was married, didn't know he was a preacher. And he said it really bothered him when he lost all of the mentality he had and didn't remember anything about his past or anything. He couldn't remember his time of salvation. And then he read this portion of Scripture. His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And he said, I knew then that I had truly been saved because of this passage of Scripture that I just read to you. Wow. That's something, isn't it? He said, I wasn't sure. How could I be sure? I couldn't remember anything. And then he said, I went to this passage of Scripture, but for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. He adopted us into his family, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. One of the things that has been said this week is about the Spirit of the Lord in this place. And there is a spirit among Christian people. I've preached in foreign countries, and I've preached a lot of states and a lot of churches. Thank God for the opportunities I've had. But boy, there's just a kindred spirit. From the very first time I was here, I felt a kindred spirit. I hope y'all feel that way toward me, but I'll tell you, there's just a kindred spirit. There's something about that. And you know what? You can be away from people several years. I've been coming here, they said, since 1991. Not every year, but most of those years since 1991. And we could be away from each other. And I'll see Brother Reynolds out preaching somewhere. I'll preach somewhere, or y'all are there, whatever. And man, that spirit just... Isn't that something? That's what God does within us. And then we can say, yeah, you know what? It is well with my soul. And you know what a lot of people do? A lot of people, when they're going through struggles and trials and problems and everything, they first stay home from church. Then they stay away from the people that love them and care about them. And then they're lonely. And they get to thinking about all the problems they have and all the troubles they have. When in reality, the last place you need to quit coming is to the house of God. And to the people of God that love you and have a spirit of God in them, because they may have gone through the same thing you've gone through. I had a lady come into the office one time, talk to my wife and me. And she said, Pastor, I'm going through depression. And I know you don't understand it about it, but I want to tell you how I feel. And I let her tell how she felt. And I told her, I said, ma'am, I said, I was an associate pastor of this church. I was a youth leader. I was a song leader. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was doing all those things. And for whatever reason, God allowed me to go through a time of depression. Our finances were good, as far as I knew. My wife and I, our relationship was good with our children, with our family, with our church. But God put me through a time of depression. He allowed it to happen. And I've often thought, why did God allow me to go through that time of depression? And then when people walk in my office and say, I know you don't understand this. I said, I understand it. I wish you could just push a button and fix it, but you can't. And you're going to go through times, if you haven't, you may go through times of downtime and depression and all that. But you just keep doing what's right. And you keep serving God. And you keep being around the people of God. And eventually, that depression will leave you. It did me. I can't tell you when it left. But it left. I didn't feel all that joy and that happiness and all that, and I put on a pretty good front, I think. I had missionaries come talk to me, our relatives, I had my dad talk to me, other pastors talk to me, people talk to me, my wife talked to me. They couldn't fix it. And sometimes in life we go through some things that we don't understand at the time. My wife and I, we lost a baby girl in between our boys. She had some miscarriages. And at the time you think, why are we going through? We're serving God. We're living for God. We're tithing. We're here every time. Why? You know, you can't help but ask that sometimes. But when other people go through it, then you know. After our daughter died, 6 months later, my brother and his wife had a baby that was stillborn. Full term, stillborn. And you know who they wanted to talk to? They want to talk to us because we've been through it. Now I want to tell you what, today, as I stand before you, with all that's happened and everything that we've experienced and things you've experienced and all, but if we're saved by the grace of God and we have the presence of God's Spirit within our heart, which we'll have if we're saved, we can truly say to people, it is well with my soul. Maybe not perfect out there and things we're dealing with, but it's well with my soul. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, let's turn over there. 1 John chapter number 3. First John chapter number 3 and verse 24. 1 John chapter 3 verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. There's a change that takes place. You may not be a drunkard. You may not be a drug addict. You may not be into pornography or all of that. I don't care how good a life as far as the world's concerned you're living. When God saves you, there's a different spirit within you. It is, isn't it? It is. And we know it. And thank God for that. So it's well with my soul because of the presence of God within my heart. The Spirit of God witnesses to the fact that we are the sons of God. Other people see that. We're led by the Spirit, no longer led by the spirit of evil, but the Spirit of God. And then number three, it is well with my soul because of the keeping power of Almighty God. He's the one that keeps us. He's the one that saves us. He's the one that keeps us saved. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. The scriptures record these words. For the which cause, Paul said, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It's well with my soul because I know God is in control, and he's the one that takes care of us, and we're kept by the power of Almighty God. Romans chapter 8. I love this passage of scripture. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. It's well with my soul because of the keeping power of God. Who shall separate us, in verse 35 of Romans 8, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or sword, or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now listen to what Paul says here. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, that's us children of God, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. We read these words. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're kept by the power of God. He keeps us. We don't hold on to him. He's got us in his hand. I like that. A song used to, my dad preached against, hold to God's unchanging hand. Listen, God's holding to us. If it was left up to us to hold to him, we'd let go many times. But he holds on to us. The last point this morning. It is well with my soul because of the testimony of God's word. Now you think about this. It's well with my soul because salvation is by grace. Because God's presence and spirit within me. Because of the keeping power of God. And then because of the testimony of God's holy word. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 verse 18. John chapter 3 verse number 18. Thought I was going to say 16, didn't you? John chapter 3 and verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, that's good, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Instead of basing our assurance of salvation on feelings, we can base it on fact. Salvation is a fact, it's not a feeling. Now I will say this. The facts are good, and so, boy, it gives you a good feeling. But our salvation is not how we feel. Daryl had a hard time this morning. He said, you know, getting up. He woke up, but he didn't get up or something. But I'll tell you something. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I think, you can't be a preacher. Boy, you going to stand up and preach to people today? Hair's all askew, you know, and everything, and your eyes all cross-eyed, and everything. You're looking in the mirror and you think, man. Have you ever thought, maybe, you know, you just wake in the night or during the day and you think, you know, I don't know if I'm really saved or not. You know, I don't know if I am or not. You know, do I feel saved? I don't feel saved all the time. But most of the time I do. Almost all the time I do. But it doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on how I feel, what I think. It depends upon the facts of God's Word. He says here, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. Hey, that takes care of it. That settles it. Look at John chapter 3, verse 36. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth on not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Then John chapter 5 and verse number 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Here's what it says. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. One must believe and accept the statements of Scripture in order to have the assurance of your salvation. It's not how we feel. It's what God's Word says. Listen, I'm basing my entire Christian life on the Word of God. But even past that, I am basing my entire eternity upon the Word of God. So you ask me tonight or today, and I'll tell you, it's not because of me, and it's not because I can keep it, it's not because I can live it. It's because of God. It's all of God. He saves us, He keeps us saved, He gives us an eternal home in heaven forever and ever and ever. And when I think about how God saved me and saved our family, how He has blessed us, what God has done for us in life, and then people will ask you, how are you doing? You know what we ought to start saying? It's well with my soul. What would lost people say if you said that? Instead of saying, fine, okay, you know, yeah, right, man, I'm doing great, yeah. What would they say if you say, you know what? It's well with my soul. And they say, what do you mean by that? Well, I'd like to tell you. I was a sinner. I was doomed to a devil's hell. And God, by His marvelous grace, saved me. And He's kept me saved. And He has an eternal home for me in heaven. And I know when I leave this life, I'm going to be with Jesus and all the saints of God through all ages forever. It's well with my soul. I mean, that ought to perk us up, hadn't it? Even on Friday, the last day after we've been here, all these services, tired, weary, starving. Orville said last night, he said, I don't think I could eat another bite. And he didn't. The rest of us did, but we wish we hadn't. But you know what? When you're feeling down and you're feeling low and you're feeling like the whole world's turned upside down, there's always somebody else that has worse problems than you have. Do you know that? There's always somebody else. Becca's not here today. Those kids are homeschooling, but her dad, Becca, Jason's wife's dad, is one of the finest Christians that you'd ever meet. He's a tall guy, and he sings in our church. And when he sings, I'm sitting on the platform here behind him in a little pew thing, seat. And he's so tall, and I'm doing like this when he's singing. And I'll say to him, I'll say, Ron, could you just bend your knees a little bit so I don't have to look up so high? And he grins. But he was over in Peru, and he had a bad aorta valve. And he climbed the mountains with them and everything. I mean, he did it all. He's just that kind of guy. He wanted to see his kids and grandkids and son-in-law. And he came back. And they had him scheduled for surgery. And Jason and them were not able to get there for the surgery, I believe, but you came in just after that. And he went through surgery. when that aorta valve and everything went well, and man, everybody rejoiced. We were all at the hospital. You know how it is. We was all rejoicing. We got back home, was getting ready for the evening service, and they called. Jason's dad called. And he said, Rod's not doing good. And they're concerned about him. And man, we didn't ask questions. My wife and I, we headed back to the hospital. We got up there, and they had put the paddles on him about four times. He'd had a heart attack. Scared everybody to death. Man, I mean, at church, they just had a prayer meeting. We had a prayer meeting at the hospital. Everything. Well, he got a little better. He was in ICU, of course, and after the surgery and all that, and that heart attack. And then we went Saturday to see him, and I believe that was the same day that he had a stroke. Now, here's a man that loves God, loves his family. I mean, he gives good to the church. He gives good to missions. He loves my wife and I and the ministries there in the church, and they're involved in everything they can be involved in. And he's going through all this. He came out, and he couldn't walk real well, and couldn't talk real well, and all that kind of stuff, because he had this stroke. And he got out, and they had him in therapy and all that, and he was getting really frustrated with all he was dealing with. We had a Bible conference. Some of you were there. He hadn't been well. He was on a walker. He was struggling to even talk. And he came to every service of the Bible conference. And at night, it was long because we had two preachers at night. And boy, I mean, the services went long. And during the day on Saturday and then all day Sunday. But Ron was there. On a walker. Couldn't talk much. Couldn't say much. But he was there. And I'm going to tell you what. That was a real witness and a real testimony of a man making that extra effort to be there. He started getting better, and pretty soon he didn't have the braces, pretty soon he didn't have the walker, and pretty soon he was coming to church, but he still couldn't talk real plain. And then one